Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How does it work?
It's an astrology thing. It's called a cycle.
Dude, it's awesome. You put in your birth time and location, and it tells you that the reason that your sitcom got canceled and your wife is the neighbor's while you're eating eggs to slim down so that somebody will is because the planet Saturn is trying to teach you how to process your emotions in a healthier way.
I'm glad you're finding it helpful.
It's awesome.
Save me from the hell of living. But why? Nicolas Cage is still unhinged. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Aeon Byte and happy Saturnalia, even as Saturn plays his games and is testing your emotions. And yes, we live in a world of astrology apps and witch talk and Silicon Valley and entheogens and all that, but it's the same old game. And I'm so happy to see you. Yes, happy Saturnalia, Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and we are a little late, but all's well that ends well, and I'm very excited about this show, and I'm excited to see everybody here. So with us today, we've got two friends, two great guys, and two individuals that will help us navigate Saturn and all his games in 2025. The first one is an individual who lives in the drone capital of the world, and it actually originates from the same place as the Jay Giles Band, and that is Chris Knowles. Chris, how you doing?
Don't ever bring up the Jay Giles Band in my presence.
I knew that would trigger you.
Yeah, we had some drones flying around on Friday the 13th of all days. I filmed a bunch of them, but you know, it just looked like a little dot going blink 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 blink. You know, didn't really tell you much. But yeah, they were hovering around, circling around. My wife said that the other day, she thought one of them was going to land in the middle of the street. So
cool. Well, we can definitely unpack that. And with us too, we have the last remaining Hobbit trilogy fan, an individual who is like Dave Smith, probably part of the woke right. Although in James Lindsay's logic, the woke Reich is anti-Semites, but somehow it includes Jews. I guess it's fine when you do dialectics. It's okay when you do Hegelian dialectics. And that is Gordon White. Gordon, how you doing?
I'm doing well. And speaking of The Hobbit, proving that Gandalf is an incorrigible liar, wizards are late. And we're starting late entirely because of me. And I apologize to everyone who was doing that. That was my mess up.
No worries. The crowd was still in the chat and the crowd is gathering, so it'll be fine. And of course, there's always the replay. So with us too, we've got Graham to help us to be the wingman. Graham, how are you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Pretty good. I guess I shouldn't say that's not my bowling ball. That's my wife. That's not bowling ball. That's my wife. Okay.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Dad jokes, boomer jokes. Yeah, we got everything. Awesome. Well, good to see the crowd there. If you have any comments or questions or complaints against us, please super chat them so we can separate them. And not much else. Housekeeping. We're navigating this. We're navigating these strange times. I don't even know where to start. I wrote down all these cool notes. Yes, if by any chance Chris and Gordon want to flash their blue sky handle, that's up to them. So you guys can visit them. But we'll see about that.
Mine's Kamala Forever at Blue Sky Social.
That's what I was going to pick. Now I can't. Now I'm going to have to ban myself preemptively from Blue Sky.
I just want to also add that James Lindsay is clinically insane. So
quite.
Well, he has gotten away from the whole theosophy Gnostic trying to conquer the world bit. So now he's got a, I guess he's created a new boogeyman, right? A new dialect.
He's like going through the Rolodex, you know, what next, you know, like what is it going to be next? Like
it's Ekinkar? The same grift. It's the same grift with a 95 IQ. It's disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. Midwits.
Those Christian pastors got to, you know, find a reason to invite him, even though he doesn't believe in the religion. So he's got to make
them money. He was like militantly atheist at one
point. That's right, but he makes a lot of money from being invited to these churches.
That's how you know he's 95 IQ. Anyone who's still running like new atheism type argument. Anyway, we all know this. Yeah. that defines midwit, like to be proudly atheist in the end of year of our Lord 2024, I think.
It is indeed. Well, that's this is the world we live in. Of course, that's what we have to decide. So, where do you want to start? You want to start with the drones? I mean, it seems to be such a very powerful symbol. There's so much to it. Obviously, projection, egregores, confirmation. It's got all the good recipes for magic and synchromysticism and the insanity of our culture. Gordon, from where you are, what do you think about the silliness of these drones?
Well, from the outside, it looks exhausting. I'm not underneath them, obviously, so it might change otherwise, but it's like, we're doing this again. Funny enough, I guess we can technically be as optimistic as whatever. Like, sure, maybe it is the Space Brothers this time. But as I kind of said to some friends of mine who are like, no, this is definitely non-human. I'm like, when they start flying over countries or air bases in countries that aren't arming Ukraine with long-range missiles, like when they start flying over Thailand's bases or Brazil's bases, I'll start to get a little bit more interested. I don't know. Like, it's funny enough, it's just like, yeah, sure, why not? This is exactly what happens now. Why not?
Haven't seen a bunch of them. I can tell you with complete confidence that there's nothing exotic or extraterrestrial. It's just they're just drones. I mean, there's this whole theory going around now that Bethany Frankel, of all people, is pushing that they're sniffing for some sort of gas, radioactive gas for dirty bombs, just some sort of foolishness. The thing I pointed out when Joe Rogan brought that up, I said, you know, Joe, well, first of all, the areas that they're flying around, I know those areas, and nobody's hiding like a dirty bomb in the McMansion, you know, in the middle of a suburban tract. Second of all, most of the areas they're flying around over are wooded, okay? They're not even populated. And third of all, we have enormous uranium deposits beneath our feet, spewing radon gas all the time. So I'm kind of curious about how these drones can sniff the difference between one uranium byproduct and the other. It's just absolute foolishness.
And they have lights on them. So if they're foreign adversaries, why would you want to see them? And if they are foreign adversaries, planes wouldn't be flying. And it's just like, come on, guys. No. But that's what I mean by sure, why not? Like, let's put some fucking drones in the air and like, look, kids, it's Santa. Like, what?
Well, I want to give people just a quick geography lesson too. Up north where this started is Picatinny Arsenal, which is one of the largest military weapons bases in the country. Down south, where these things were also being seen in a 50-mile radius around Joint Base McGuire, Air Force Base. And then in the middle of that is the Naval Weapons Station in Colts Neck. Okay, so for some reason, these things that are sniffing for uranium only seem to be flying in these radius or radii around large military bases. I mean, come on. People just want to get excited about something. It's military beta testing. That's all it is. It's field testing. I mean, my theory is that what they've developed some sort of and the reason why they're all flying at night, by the way, is that they figured out a way to sort of hoover up everybody's Wi-Fi and then they'll just sort of hoover it up and just collect it all and then feed it into their big AIs and then, you know, sort of translate it or whatever, decrypt it. So then you'll start seeing these things flying over Russia and Uzbekistan and Chechnya and Belarus.
And as is usually the case with the Anglo-Americans, you'll see what the point was when they bring up the laws, because they have actually been trying to ban DJI specifically in the US for a couple of years because it's Chinese tech. And this is going to be like, of course. I love DJI, by the way, like all my cameras and drone and whatever are that. So it's like, yeah, you just know. We're just at that point where they don't even need to hide the brazen, corrupt criminality of it. It's just, I'm going to preemptively pardon people for crimes that I said I didn't do. And you think, what? Yeah. Like, it's just what happens now. Like, drones that are supposed to be little spacemen. Let's do it.
Well, like, again, I mean, I don't know how somebody could look at these things and think they're alien. They just look like every drone you've ever seen. So... I mean, actually, some of them are fixed wing. Some of the ones I've seen are fixed wing, so they kind of look like one of those, like, kind of hunter killer drones or whatever. But most of them are just your typical four-prong propelled.
Yeah. I mean, they're nice. I'll have one under the Christmas tree, but agreed. Like, this is it's a long way. It's a long way from Alpha Centauri in a propelled drone.
But I think the story is how fragmented everybody's attention and consciousness is. We see what we want to see. The empire is not communicating with itself as it erodes. It's just, if one Chinese balloon last year caused all this havoc, or some Haktua girl, this is really messing with everybody's psyche, isn't it? It's just another, it's a symptom, guys. Isn't that what this is?
Well, can I also tell you guys what the next town over for me is? Mm-hmm. It's a little town called Bedminster. Does that sound familiar to anybody? There's a little setup there called Trump National.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Which is where he spends a lot of his time. So, and now he's not going there because of the drones. It's just one off on top of the next.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Miguel, about that. But it's a projection in that Jungian sense. But it's also just you can see how different people are expressing their cope to the gaslight that is just living in 2024. And on that level, I have tremendous patience for it. Like people who want that to be, like, literally, I want to believe, people who want that to be off planet, I get it. It's not, but it's very, I don't know, professionally interesting to see, because we're doing the same. We're just more likely to be correct. Like our cope is a cynicism from too long in the ufology minds, I think. But it's nevertheless a cope. I mean, I guess everything is.
Yeah, I was recently reading Jung's book on UFOs for the David Bowie book, and he keeps stressing we're looking for a modern myth. And this myth will be created, and it's going to be between, extraterrestrials, but closer to nuclear warfare. That's what the psyche is doing. That's where we're heading to. And I would say this is, as you've taught, Gordon, World War III. Somehow this is the modern myth we have to negotiate, and that's the reality we're projecting.
For well, sure. We've been negotiating that since 1947, haven't we? So
exactly. That's when the UFOs really started exploding over the skies. Our science fiction world started, and we're still struggling for that modern myth. Mm. So it's same as it ever was, it seems. But what would you say, Chris? What would you say is the most secret sun event this year? I mean, I know today, of course,
too many of them.
The shooters, of course, her name or its name was Samantha. So you had that right there. Even when I read it this morning, I was like, oh my God, I know what Chris is going to post in about an hour when I was reading the news this morning. Yeah. But there was so much.
So I've got a huge list, because this was a very secret sunny year. Not quite as secret sunny as 2017, but pretty up there. These sort of lone wolf types. We had Luigi Mangione whose former address at Buckley Court, of course, whose parents own Lorien Health Services. I don't have to tell Gordon what Lorien's all about. And then we have Samantha, a.k.a. Natalie Lynn Rubnow in Madison. Natalie, of course, means Christmas. So there's an interesting connection there. Rewinding just a bit, we had Max Azzarello, the chap who lit himself on fire outside the Trump trial in Lower Manhattan. Okay. And then we had Jared Rivizzo, the Braintree Buffalo Bill, the individual, I don't know what the pronouns in this case are, stabbing children in a movie theater in Braintree, Massachusetts, which was rather Secret Sunny. It's all been very Secret Sunny. I don't know. That's just so much. It's been a very busy year. The elections, you know, the whole symbolism with Trump and the symbolism and the stellar symbolism that I've been looking at with Kamala. We all forgot about the Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore, mm-hmm. which was very strange. The Trump assassinations, whatever you make of those. The Olympics with all the very explicit Mithraic symbolism and Dionysus being eaten by the Titans. A little bit of Knoll's Law, people saying, oh, it's the Last Supper. And it's like, no, it's Dionysus being eaten by the Titans, which, you know, you could probably make an argument is connected. But we had a big alignment in August. Of course, the drones.
The last time we spoke, Miguel, like the future Queen of England was missing and being photoshopped. Like it's the dumbest year. It's crazy.
Yeah. AI too. AI. Yeah. And, oh, don't forget Chuck E. Cheese, the turds, little creepy red.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't mind that. Like, I wouldn't hang it in my house, but I didn't hate it. I thought, like, they're usually so boring, and at least that one is haunted. I don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly memorable. It's certainly memorable, but it's also kind of creepy when you think about what we know about the Windsor family and their predilections over the history.
I think he should have lent into that because he's actually low-key proud of they have literal Dracula ancestry. Like he has property in former Transylvania. He has a holiday home there, and he likes his Dracula ancestry. I think he should have leant into it. I think he should have been like, that's right. That's right. That's what that is. Old Sausage Fingers is a vampire. Let's do it.
Is he on his deathbed, though? I mean, I'm kind of wondering. So. Like,
Yeah.
Is he?
What a life.
And what is it, Kate there? Kate Middleton? What's going on with her? I mean, she hasn't been seen.
Yeah. Who even knows? I think she was seen a couple of months ago, but I'm pretty sure she got the. I don't know about the other one. So
wait. What's the?
No. That's an injection. That's like a hyperdose. Like she got the injection.
Oh, I see.
And it now has has rapidly growing cancer. So,
You think Charles has too, or do you think his?
I have no idea. Like, he's old. We forget how old he actually is, and evil. So, cancer does tend to find that. I have no idea, but I believe that the scuttlebutt from people who told me that at the beginning of the year was that she actually did. She got the real injections, not the fake ones that Macron and whatever got.
Oh, and also speaking of England falling apart. By the second this year, don't forget the whole Southport situation.
Yeah,
that which conveniently helped Keir Starmer as soon as he was elected, just basically shut down all the opposition. So, a lot going on over in that little country there. Nothing good. Nothing happy. And they're really Boris Johnson's basically salivating to carve Russia up like a turkey. It's like good luck with that, Boris.
I know. Yeah, it's definitely. I see what you mean, Chris. Like it's sort of 2017, or like there's an echo of it. But this time around, it's just some of this. Like some of it's stupider. Like, because the other thing, when I think about my favorite event of the year, and literally it was from the last time we spoke, Miguel, it was the Willy Wonka scam in Glasgow. Like, I still randomly think about how fucking
funny that was. Wonderful.
It was truly like the high point of my news year so far. I will randomly think about like children bursting into tears because they got, there wasn't a single shred of chocolate in the whole place. I just think, I mean, not the actual children being upset, but the whole, how did you think you could get away with it? That's so dumb. And that's just 2024. Like the drones. Oh, look, they're flying saucers. Like, are they? They have propellers for a start, so they're not saucers. It's the same. It's like, the stories are archetypal. The delivery leaves something to be desired.
Yeah, like out of The Simpsons or something. Yeah, like basically. That. Yeah, that's not the real Krusty.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That Willy Wonka thing reminded me of something out of Terry Gilliam's Brazil, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just complete half-assed. It's such a perfect metaphor of decline there, though. You know, it's such a perfect metaphor of British decline.
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't want people to think we're dumping on the Brits, but
so at least P.T. Barnum made an effort when he was scamming people, right? Like, this was just a scam without the effort. Like, it was just, I'm going to sell some tickets and I'm going to do a very Scottish thing of spending the least amount of money possible. And the gap between that was just too wide. And it's just, it's so funny. It really is.
Well, this is the year all the free money ran out, finally.
That's true.
I don't know if people are following what's going on in Hollywood, but I was just hearing that Village Roadshow is having trouble paying its bills. Mm. Village Roadshow, who did the Matrix movies. And of course, we know it happened a couple of years ago with the sequel. Yeah. I mean, Hollywood, you know, has run out of hundreds of millions, billions of dollars to lose. It's over. And people say, oh no, they're just playing possum and it's all a big trick. And that, you know, they have an endless supply of money to put forth the narrative. And it's like, no, they don't. Stop saying things like that.
The movie stars are running on fumes as well. Like, that it's not even just the studios. When you know that and imagine like getting paid $50 million a movie or $25 million a movie and being poor 5 years later. It's incredible, but it's the jig is up.
Mm. Harrison Ford, of all people, is saying that he's taking all these roles because he needs the money. And you think, yeah. Harrison Ford? You mean like Indiana Jones, Han Solo?
You know, be richer than God.
How can this possibly be? But
and what are you spending it on? Because he just lives on his like, the plane isn't that expensive when you have millions and you just live on your ranch. It's like, do you have a gambling? Like, it would be kind of awesome to find out what it actually is. Maybe he has the world's largest Fabergé egg collection. Like, who knows?
Well, don't forget California taxes have playing a big part. Yeah. You know, you make $50 million and 25 of that's gone right off the top before you even say a word. So, but the point is that it's over. And now they're all freaking out about AI. We had, what's that guy's name? Tyler Perry. Is that his name? Tyler Perry. You know, he was going to build this big movie studio and like a $1 billion movie studio. And they put it on hold because he's so worried about AI. They're actually building, so the old building where Verizon used to have its headquarters, they're going to be putting a movie studio in my town, which I can't even wrap my head around. You know, it's like, oh, the middle of New Jersey, you're going to be putting a movie studio in? Like, what's that all about? Like, very, very strange. But it all has to do with, you know, all these companies are fleeing California. Because they can't afford the taxes and the crime and so on and so forth. Yeah. So how does this affect our mythology? Well, we are into the post-mythological age, my friends. It's over. You know, I mean, it's done. It's done. I'm telling you something. And like I said, I've told you before, 2020, my phone stopped ringing from Marvel because they just weren't bringing in the money anymore. And once that money runs out, it just has this huge knock-on effect. Ridley Scott did Gladiator 2. It has to make $750 million to break even. It's not even close.
Yeah.
So we are in a very strange period. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking of, because I feel I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I feel like we're in this unreality stage right now. I feel like everything is just post-real now. And it kind of reminds me of like when you're at a music festival and like one band finishes its set and breaks down all the equipment and takes it off stage. And now we're sitting there watching like a completely new band set up. That's what it kind of feels like.
Yes. So I was going to say, like, just to agree with you that we might be intermythological rather than post-mythological, but we're definitely we're seeing the scaffolding for sure. There's nothing. Part of
dream time. I mean, exactly. You talk about England, but suddenly you have, how is it all these governments like Canada, France, and Germany collapse at the same time? I mean, is that their script? Although the timing is weird.
It feels like it. Yeah, it definitely feels like it. All feels stage managed to me. I don't know about Gordon's really the guy you want to talk to about stuff like that, but it definitely feels like there's, okay, out with the old, in with the new. Like the Obama era is over. It's done. It's completely done. I would point out is this whole P. Diddy thing, I think, is going to be a much bigger deal than we realize. And it's almost going to be like the Epstein thing was beta testing, because this is going to be the real killer. You know, this is the one that's going to just really F everybody up the A, no pun intended. It's going to be really, I think it's going to be really bad. And it's going to be used in the same way that Me Too was used to clear out all the deadwood. So
yeah, may well be. Yeah. It's funny because I was thinking the same, like it's definitely worse than the Epstein stuff is just a classic spook operation of making powerful people, tricking powerful people into, it's like, well, she kind of looks 18. Like, I'm sure it's fine. But it turns out she's not, but bam, we have your video. This is like, no, he's 11 and Beyonce's going to watch you. Beyonce's going to watch you do it. Like this is very different, but also you can't kill your way out of it. Like I'd want to make sure Pete Diddy has life insurance, but like Justin Bieber is only going to need to spend one night at home on a few bourbons before getting on Instagram Live and be like, okay, like this is actually what happened. And that's going to steamroll everyone. Like this one can't be contained quite so easily because a spook operation is, well, this is still a spook operation, but like the Epstein situation was better managed, like better run. This is a fucking mess of weird people who have sad little occult beliefs and all kinds of, like, it's gross. It is a swimming pool of baby oil and degeneracy.
Well, it's also people that most, you know, the public cares about. Like, you know, when look at the Epstein client list, it's like, oh, well, you know, this FBI director, this senator, you know, this Gates, whomever, Clinton, blah, blah, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Dawkins, Daniel Dennett. I mean, who cares?
Alan,
you know, when it's people like, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z, you know, Puff Daddy, you talked about Justin Bieber. It would be interesting to reopen the Aaron Carter case. I think that might be worth looking into. So, I mean, this is like, you know, I mean, who can resist it? It's going to be an incredible show. And I think they're going to run it like a show, but I would not want to be one of these Obama era superstars who they've decided that not only are you not going to make any more money, but we're going to take your money from you, which I think is a big part of this, an unspoken part of this. So there you go.
I think they might have realized, and I'm surprised more of them haven't fled to non-extraditionary countries. Like they wheeled everyone out for the Harris campaign and it made things worse. It didn't even help, but like it actively made things worse to get Jennifer Lopez crying on stage, who was in the room for a bunch of that stuff. It's like, well, you're expensive and you make it worse. We're going to do something different now.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, the one thing, I mean, this is not mystical or synchromystic or anything, but I was watching a lot of videos with like very big people like James Carville within the Democratic Party who were pissed. Like, where did that $1.5 billion go? You know what I mean? But this is these are the kind of conditions that bring about these situations where like, okay, it's time to shut down Epstein. Why was it time to shut down Epstein? Because if you look at the timeline, they wanted to get rid of all those old neocons. They wanted to get them out of, you know, wheel them out of the White House and put in this whole Obama team, you know, which is more focused on Russia and China and not, you know, not solely focused on the Middle East. And the same thing, and it's like, so it's like the same thing that brought in and took out Epstein is going to take out Diddy, because now this is what I'm saying. It just feels like it's all stage managed. Like we are watching this rollout. And I wonder, is Elon Musk really worth $500 billion? Is that real? Is any of this money real? You know, is Jeff Bezos worth all this money? Is Mark Zuckerberg, or is this all just inflated and presented to the public to manipulate us in certain ways, you know, to listen to these people? And but the other thing that is amazing to me, and we can get into this if you want to talk about the Book of Revelations, is how just completely blatantly obvious is that this is the Elon Musk shadow presidency.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, it is like he's in there and the technocrats have won, right?
Yeah. So I've been doing some thinking and watching about, and I spoke to Greg about this when I was on THC. After the last time Trump won, that we had pussy hats and all the rest of it, which we didn't get this time, but also that the Democratic response, having just literally tried to kill him several times and call him Hitler, just melted like cake in the rain. And so Catherine Austin Fitz's speculation, which I rather like, is that the higher ups worked out that they can't get the control grid sorted down the blue road because it's too unpopular. Like that direction is, it's over. So they're going to do the red road. And instead, that was the deal that Trump cut to get to win this, because they could have stolen it like they did the last one, right? But not only did he get to win, there were no pussy hats. So, and he surrounded himself with like Peter Thiel, Elon Musk,
and Mark Andreessen, yeah. David Sachs. And
the very idea that you could somehow get a more Zionist circle around the president than the outgoing one seemed impossible to me, but they managed it. So it's like, okay, all right. That's a speculation, but the thing that I've been trying to solve is like, okay, why did they, after trying to kill him and call him Hitler, why was there nary a pussy hat to be found? And I think it's like, well, the red road to the technocratic rollout is going to work better, as far as we can tell, than the blue one, because the blue one was so unpopular by the end there.
Well, there's some things that I would bring up. The end of the era of free money, because all that pussy hat, all that kind of stuff, that didn't just spontaneously erupt. That was all bought and paid for. It was all orchestrated before the inauguration ever happened. Okay. I mean, this was all an operation of very big money and spending a lot of money. They don't have that money anymore. Okay. Second of all, you probably heard all this war drum beating coming out of Europe that you're just like, yeah, we decided that, you know, Napoleon and Hitler had such a great time that we're going to start a land war with Russia. You know, let's give that a shot. Nobody's going to follow Kamala Harris, you know, into the recruiting station, you know, to go into the Minsk meat grinder. You know what I'm saying? It's just not going to happen. Yeah. So I think that had a lot to do with it. But I also think that, again, this whole Diddy thing, I mean, look at all these people that are being named in this scandal. We're all out there on the hustings for Kamala. Yep. So then they're not worried about, you know, all these ads they did, oh, you know, tell the electors to change their votes and everything. They're lawyering up right now. They're all lawyering up. They don't know, you know, or maybe they do know. They do know the shitstorm that's headed right for them. So it's all this money and attention is being diverted for a number of different reasons. But I think, again, I think this Diddy thing is a lot bigger. And I think it's going to erupt big next year. I really do.
I agree. Because, well, the money thing is interesting. The money is there because actually a pussy hat campaign is not that expensive for the open, like for Soros and his kids, right? But they didn't spend it. So you're right. It's like those things were all completely artificial and they chose not to do it. But when you think about Diddy, right? It's an indication that they've made the decision by that point to move in the Trump direction, because how an operation like that works, because you're like, as far as we can tell, doing things that end in the deaths of some children, right? Some real David Icke shit going on. You can get away with that because there are parts of the power structure, like the shadow power structure, let's say the intelligence industry, that has your back because you're running that game for them. Those people are out of a job. This is when something like that. So we can't see what it was that changed in the intelligence world, which is what Chris is talking about there, that plainly did, and they don't have their umbrella anymore, right? That, and so it all starts to come out. And I don't think they've realized how little umbrella is in fact left. And this is where I'm like, I'm surprised. I'm sure they are lawyering up, but I'm surprised that they don't live in Colombia or Uruguay or something right now. Like what?
Well, who has fled besides Ellen? I'm trying. Was there a couple other people that
there's been a few
got out of
the going to England.
Hey, like that's, I didn't realize you're so stupid. Like the country that's most likely to extradite is the UK, right? Like you're not a WikiLeaks journalist. You're a long running CIA asset. Like they'll actually just bundle you into a car. Yeah.
So I want to hear from Gordon. I'm going to take over your spot here, Miguel. I want to hear from Gordon. 2025. You know, we've all heard all the predictions. I mean, how is this going to play out? What's the timetable here for the big shows in 2025?
If you mean like nukes flying at each other, like full blown World War III, the astrology still has that for 26, 27. I mean, it's obvious now. It will certainly be obvious by the end of the year. What we have, it's begun, but what we have now is all the major outer planets moving into a new sign. So all the big, slow-moving ones, over the next 15 months, all move. It's literally a whole new world, like reset, cosmic reset. That's a slow process or an 18-month or so process. So if we can get to the inauguration, speaking of like sniffer drones and whatever, if we can get to the inauguration without the powers behind the potato somehow getting nukes to be thrown, then I think, but looking at the astrology, that's still where I say a ways off. Nothing gets better. It's just, but we're talking about like, okay, when does it get like that? It's still 26, 27, but it'll be very obvious by this time next year.
What about the economy?
That story's not good either.
Well, you have what Pluto is in what, Capricorn? I don't know much about astrology.
Aquarius.
That means that the old is gone and we have a new dispensation.
And interestingly, so Aquarius is a sign of media. And what Pluto does when he moves into a new sign is reveals the corruption that he's going to burn off. So what we're talking about with Hollywood is in the same way when Pluto moved into Capricorn in 2008, we got the banking crisis and the bailouts, the just like revelation of like, this is how the world is run. Like Pluto, like the Penguin in Batman Returns, just emerges from the floor with like the receipts. Like, check this shit out, right? So we have Diddy in the collapse of Hollywood. That's pretty much on schedule, right? But we also have Saturn is moving into Aries along with Neptune. So the death planet is moving into the war sign next year, along with Neptune. So like fog of war, naval battles, and so on. And Jupiter, which is good, is also moving. But Uranus dips its toe into the next one, Uranus and Gemini next year. So the planet of surprise bitch is moving in out of the Earth, where we've had like fake meat and trans issues and so on is moving into Mercury sign, the Gemini of duplicity and, you know, communication and so on. Just as we're getting like whatever AI turns into, it's undoubtedly like a step change in how we do mercurial things. So that's the beginning of that. So like, if you look around the chart, all the big reality defining energies are moving into new homes.
Well, one thing I just want to ask before I let Miguel give him back the mic. What's this I hear that there's some sort of quasi harmonic convergence coming up soon?
Well, so there's a bunch of stuff that's going on. This is what I think is really interesting. Like, you can do a couple of metaphors here, like blind man and the elephant, or I just prefer to say unfocus your eyes. Because if you unfocus your eyes, I know something that Chris and I are in agreement about is when the Mayan calendar 2012 happened and people are like, oh, nothing happened. I'm like, disagree. And that's like that's a multi-thousand year calendar. And we're just at the beginning of it. And look what's happened. If you unfocus your eyes and look at, and this is, I've just done a 6-month time magic course on this, at prophetic models and multiple astrologies around the world, and things like the fourth turning and other historical cycle models, you unfocus your eyes, they're all looking at approximately this second half of 2020's decade that we're in. So that's, I tend to get more accurate by getting less, by unfocusing my eyes rather than looking for the more precise details. Because it's like, all right, especially when you're dealing with big things like World War III, to know within a 5-year window, it's approximately here. Is pretty good. And that's where so I just keep layering these models in to see if, and they all just kind of head with now, like 2025 to 2030, give or take, here we are.
Well, how does this affect us on the microcosm though? So we know that all these big forces are moving and setting the chessboard up, but like, what does this mean for the rest of us?
So for me, I think apocalypses are an invitation to, what's important to you? What would you like to be doing when you die? Like, you know, walking to work with a coffee. Are you going to a call center? Like, what are you doing? That's on like on a mission or purpose level of like, if not now, when? Like, seriously. But the other side of it, and it's the real Jungian one. I'm halfway through a series of videos about this on the YouTube channel. When he was asked, how do we prevent nuclear war? He said, well, if nuclear war is going to happen, he's like, it will depend on how many people have integrated their shadow. So making that inward turn and finding what's going on in there for you literally is a field shift. There's no preventing this moment, but there is, you are invited to attenuate it by making that turn in your life is how I look at it. Like, what are you doing? Like, is like, literally, if not now, when? But if you're feeling this, it's the feelings are an invitation inward rather than outward. Like, go in that direction.
Yeah, I'm entering my second Saturn return right now, so I'm just kind of curious. But I will say that my first Saturn return was friggin' awesome. So,
oh, good.
So there you go.
I'll be there soon.
But are nukes real? That's
are they real? So funny, right? Like World War III, I use the word nuclear. Like they are, but I don't think atoms are real. Does that make sense? So I don't think nuclear theory is right. I think these big bombs are very damaging, and I'm not sure if they do the thing that even the people who build them say they do. It's a really weird time because I agree completely, and I'm not even sure. Obviously, I'm talking to the right guys here. Was that the subtext of the Twin Peaks return? That it's like, it's not just, oh, a nuclear bomb opened a dimension. It's more like, well, kind of, but was it even a nuke? I don't know.
It was us. Yeah, again, it was the modern myth. It was us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Gordon, what would you say about, we keep talking about World War III, and these days I'm like, what does that even mean? I feel like I'm in Mean Girls. What does that even mean, World War III? But at the same time, you're talking about Trump is getting what they want, the Z's. But right now it seems like the USA, England, Saudi Arabia, Israel, I guess now we can add Turkey to this consortium, this cartel, is getting everything they wanted, right? I mean, they could just, next they could just push Iran. I mean, they're getting everything. What do they need more except for the Ruskies? I mean, and Biden's still president. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Everything's the slaughter is continuing in the Middle East as
well. So I'm not sure. So why I think now that we have, in theory, I mean, January 20 is still a long way off, but now that in theory it's a Trump presidency, which means that that neocon project has to move to Europe and NATO, and we've seen that with like Romanian elections and so on. Because Europe needs the war because it's run out of money. This is the thing. Like, you need a debt reset, and you do that with a war. Like, they're fucked. Like, it's over. So Europe collapses one way or the other. And the way you, if you're in power, you get to do that while staying in power is making young people die for you. So Europe still wants it. But speaking of deals, is it the case that the deal was Israel gets the Middle East and Russia gets Ukraine? And if that's the case, because the real rubber hits the road when NATO brazenly is at war with Russia rather than this crypto war. And if the deal was that, and we can kind of see that in that fucking clown Zelensky's behavior, that's speculation. But that what that will do is kick the can forward until NATO can reorient and keep picking that fight, doing it differently. But that'll push it to the timing that I think it happens. I don't know. Like, we're in all kinds of interregnums at the moment. That's a speculation on it. They're getting everything they want, but it's not quite, because what they actually want is the demographic drift will prevent it. What they actually want is to maintain G7 control of the growth of G20 economies over the next 50 years, and Russia, China, etc. That's not, those two things are at loggerheads. So in order to maintain G7 control, you have to bring everything down, and Bretton Woods the whole world again. So they won't stop until they get Russia, and I don't think enough people have worked that out, and that's what it is.
Yeah, these are just steps. Again, I think 25 basically is more or less a buffer year. Watch for the signs it's going to happen, but this is a little buffer, if you would.
Well, it's maybe a preparation year.
Yeah. So it could be the word, like, as of now, we're in, and the metaphor I used in the course was like, astrology is like tornado weather, where I can guarantee you that there is tornado weather. Can't guarantee the tornado, right? We're in the tornado weather for World War III. I don't think it's until 2026 and so on, 2026, 2027, but we're in the weather. So the tornado could fall at any time. But I agree that it's a buffer year. I think that's the plan, because I don't think either side of this is as ready as they intend to be. In the case of Russia, it's integrating Iranian drones and North Korean troops and so on into how they want to do this. And in the case of the West, it's having weapons that actually work and bullets to put them. Fuck.
Well, you know, when I think about all this stuff, I'm just going back to the 90s. I'm thinking like my old Dave Emery and Webster Tarpley lectures and shows and everything, because they talk about the world island, you know. Yeah. That you're Asia, and putting in all these pipelines and these giant highways. I mean, all these systems that are going to transport oil and minerals and goods across the vast expanse of, you know, what's called the world island. And the thing that's really fascinating to me is that I remember listening to a Webster Tarpley lecture in the middle of the Obama era, and he's talking about, like, you know, getting rid of, you know, all the, you know, people like Frum and Crystal and all these idiots. And it, like, because this new group was coming in saying, you know, you people are crazy worrying about the Middle East and everything. It's like, you know, we're worried about Russia and China. And everything since then has been pretty almost predictable on how it's all taking place. But my concern personally, you know, I'm not concerned about all that stuff per se. I'm concerned about how it affects the culture and also the things that I look at as far as the ritualism is concerned, because I noticed quite distinctly, I guess you would say, is that the crazy ritualism really started ramping up in the middle of 2016, particularly with the Gothard Tunnel. And I think talking about this World Island project, you know, these pipelines and these railways and everything like that, I mean, what could be a better sort of almost like microcosm of that than that tunnel that they, you know, they carved through the middle of this mountain and everything. So that's why, to me, in my estimation, why that symbolism was so incredibly ridiculously over the top, because, you know, they're trying to charge this whole project. And the one thing that I've noticed is that anytime they do make these major moves, they're always trying to charge it with ritualism. Now, the thing that I want to bring up, and I'd like to hear Gordon ask, see what his thoughts on this are, is that I don't think Trump and his people are as interested in the ritualism.
No, I think rituals, like I actually spoke about this in the course as well. I think you have to go back to the Obama era I think the wizards were on the payroll during the Obama era. And as a matter of fact, I think speaking of operations involving children and intelligence assets and so on, I think what Pizzagate got close to was the end of having wizards on the payroll. Because if you, like, first of all, the rituals have been shit since then in the Biden era, like him, the Doc Brandon thing and so on. It's like, are you trying to, and they might be, are you trying to make this worse? And you know that there's no one left who's playing loosey-goosey with that symbolism and like really knowing how to get that dog to hunt. When, if you look at the Democratic convention, I can tell you there was no astrologers on staff. It was like the worst weekend of the year, like eclipses and so on. And if they're trying to, like, there's no one good anymore. And I think it's because the people in that that technocratic mind genuinely don't believe and like can't, like their brains are fucked, like can't believe that this stuff actually works. I think when Lizzie died, that was the end of the decades of like, are these guys have a bit of game when it comes to running rituals that don't look like rituals, but actually are, but they can turn around and go, what are you talking about? That's not a ritual. It's like, it is though, isn't it? It's that extra layer of knowing that moving symbols around and playing with motifs and so on has a reality effect that can't be quantified. You just have to know it. That's over. I don't think the people in power at the moment behind the scenes on either side. And in Trump's case, it's because he's a very boring kind of Christian. Like Lizzie was a crazy, she had her own church, but like she was a crazy Christian.
Well, is that true about Trump? Because I know that Trump is really into New Thought. You know, he was really into.
I consider that boring Christianity. Like I like it, but I consider that boring Christianity. The New Thought isn't making your grandson get married on a mat designed for like the emperor of the world. Like Lizzie would. That's her Christianity, right? Trump's is like, I God thinks I should be rich.
Yeah, Norman Vincent Peale kind of stuff. Yeah. I'm going to think it first, and it's going to happen. No middleman.
The secret.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
exactly. The law of attraction. Yeah, yeah. It's all just, you know, a polite version of that, I guess you would say. Yeah. But you know, I do think that Trump was quite lax in his ritual observances. The only one I can really point to was that missile launching farce during the Lyrids.
Yeah.
Back, what was that, 2018, I think it was. And it was so clearly trying to sort of pull down some of that power. But I don't think that was his doing. I think that was people within the Pentagon. But I got to tell you, I'm so sick of ritualism. I'm so sick of these people and their nonsense that I would welcome a change of pace, because it's just so weird. And it's really just like a bunch of frightened children when you really get down to it. That's the thing that really bothers me, like traumatized children acting out fantasies. It just gets so
oppressive. Also sometimes including them. Like, so the Marina Abramovich era is over.
Like, oh, thank God.
But it is. Like, you can feel that. That's the Podesta, Clinton, back room of that syndicate, and that's over. Like, and it, and it's all those, and it's fruity. Like, you know, I'm both gay and a magician, but that's fruity. That's not right. The stuff they're doing is weird and gross and is from trauma and causes it and is frankly unnecessary for magic anyway. But that's all. And I kind of think, so remember when the first time Trump won, I was watching an Alex Jones live stream and it was around Pizzagate stuff. And he said, there's not that much of this in Trump's world because he actually likes large, big-breasted Eastern European women, like plainly, like look at the people in his life. And it's sort of, oh yeah, that's probably true. Like if you look at the stuff, if there's going to be skeletons in his closet, they're actually going to look like Melania. They're not going to look like Justin Bieber.
Well, he doesn't
or Dakota Fanning.
Yeah.
In Clinton's case, right?
He doesn't need the ritual. Like, my kids from this marriage are all Gen Alpha. And of course, they know Trump, but they don't know policy. It's all mythological, right? They're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, and the Trump dance, and all. You know, he's already entered their psyche, but as this larger than life P.T. Barnum entertainer. So that's where he's hitting the magic with the kids.
It's his
TikTok and podcast.
It's a secular magic. If that thing could possibly be said to exist. I mean, he is sort of working. I mean, he does meme magic, right? And he does manipulate symbols. And I can't wrap my head around it because I don't respond to that kind of stuff. But he seems to really know how to get people motivated with these weird, weird tweets or weird productions or just these weird sort of displays that he does. I mean, somehow it gets people really, really hyped up. It doesn't work on me, but it seems to work for 100 million people in this country.
He has. That's true. And it's funny you mentioned like meme magic. And so the other, the fruity, like the Abramovich school of magic, let's say, is more crushed velvet. But his is more words. Like I watched the interview with Rogan, and Trump has this way of creating like a squid ink of words. Like I'll just say all of this and then there'll be a bit like, oh, he's gone. I don't know much about him. Like he'll hide this really precise papow. Like he's actually, people think he's illiterate or whatever, but he's actually quite good with words because he'll do this like squid ink or like, obfuscation, and inside of it is actually a very precise targeted thing, and that comes through in his memes, that comes through in his power, where he'll just like, and people really respond to that. Like you get that in CEOs and people that, and it's sexual, like it's a power thing, like they actually really like, they're electrified by someone who has the power to be able to do and say those things. But it's true, he does have his own magic. It's just not fruity high ritualism.
Well, what about Musk then? I mean, what would you feel like, since Musk is at least the co-president?
Easily.
If not the shadow president. I mean, what do you feel about his approach to this kind of thing?
So I don't know.
Mars nonsense and everything.
Well, so that's interesting because like when I worked for Yelp, I knew people who were friends with him from the PayPal days as he was kind of starting SpaceX. And he got a shoulder tap of like, you might see some stuff up there. Just shut up about it. And because he really is doing it for like money and his version of transhumanism and whatever. Like he really, like he's an entrepreneur. Like I'm going to be the first trillionaire in space. I don't know, whatever that belief system is. And he didn't care. So I think he knows, you have a level of pragmatism in someone who's that successful, because when someone saw it in the chat as I was watching, there are some interesting sidereal timing alignments that have coincided with SpaceX flights, like there usually always are with NASA. So I wonder if he doesn't have some of that pragmatism of like, whatever, some of this stuff works. But as far as I can tell, like he is. What he says on the tin there about his belief systems are, I am an entrepreneur with these very specific quasi-libertarian transhumanist beliefs. But I think he knows in that pragmatism level that some of this stuff just goes with the territory.
Well, what about the kind of like mid-level 4chan shitposting that he seems to? I mean, it's so surreal. This guy who's, you know, supposed to be worth just south of $500 billion, basically behaving like a 13-year-old 4chan shitposter, you know, who's kind of like not even an intermediate, sort of a beginner. I mean, how does that work? I just can't, it just
looks like midlife attention seeking to me. Like when you have X, you like the temptation to just be like tens of thousands of people are going to like and praise you, whatever you put out. That's very addicting, but also it doesn't make you good. You won't improve at shitposting in that environment because you won't know what's good and what's bad. And I think he's gotten worse. Like some of the stuff that he retweets or that the meme statements he'll use are like 18 months to 2 years old. And I'm like, what the? Wow. But yeah, tens of thousands of people like and retweet.
He gets community noted his own company sometimes.
He doesn't seem to mind though. But no. So when I was talking about the Book of Revelations, we did have Trump with the head wound, right?
Yeah.
Whatever you choose to look at that as. So that would sort of set him up as the beast of the sea or the beast from the sea, which always gets conflated with the Antichrist, which really bothers me because there's nothing identifying the beast from the sea as the Antichrist. But, you know, Trump is from Atlantic City, right? I mean, that was his home base, Atlantic City. So we got that symbolism there. And, of course, this is the year of the dragon, right? The dragon that gives the beast from the sea its authority. And we also have Musk with his dragon capsules, you know, the whole SpaceX and that symbolism there. So, I mean, is this prophetic or is this just trying to behave according to the script? I mean, I can't really imagine that those two guys would care about that symbolism all that much. I really don't. But there's also the symbolism of Kamala Harris, you know, that I talked about in Andromeda. We have, you know, Sira and Amalek, which are Kamala and Harris reversed as the two brightest stars in that constellation. And, you know, she's chained to the rock and all this kind of thing. And of course, the beast from the sea hates the whore, the Babylon, and casts it to the sea with the stone and all this kind of thing. Now, I'm trying to figure out, like, is this real? I mean, is this just coincidence? Is this some just strange random synchronicity? Or is this because Gordon had talked about, like, the red path is the best way to bring on the beast system, or, you know, what is called the beast system?
When we talk about prophecy and prediction, it assumes we have time correct and we don't. So when we have these motifs overlap, it's like, well, did we cause them? Are they predictive? It's like, they just overlap. And that's the thing that we get wrong. It's like, oh, because they're all fucking weird, right? Like, what the fuck? What the hell is going on here? But in other times and in other cultures, we experienced time differently. So it would just be.
Hey, shining crazy diamonds. Please subscribe for the second part of this interview. It certainly helps grow this Red Pill cafeteria. What's more, beyond getting the second half, you get content earlier and don't have to worry about flapdoodle commercials here or on other public platforms. So please become a Red Circle sub, Patreon, or AB Prime member for the full consciousness expanding gnosis. At Patreon, I have tiers as low as $1 or $3 a month. And at Red Circle, it's a clean $4.99 a month to stream all full shows. All subs include a dedicated private stream that works on most apps. Don't forget the Gnostic Tarot, which is selling well and optimizing spiritual growth based on the feedback I've gotten, and the Virtual Alexandria Academy. I can't do it without you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being yourself, your true self, here in the desert of the real. Hello and goodbye, as always.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.